Please would you turn to Hebrews chapter 11. I wanted for my first sermon in Moore College Chapel to take you to a passage that has been a particular encouragement to me in recent years, and one that has been formative in my understanding of the Christian life and of Christian ministry. I know that Mark preached on Hebrews 11 last term. I'd already decided to preach on this, and I listened to his sermon. There's not too much overlap, not because I'm contradicting him, I hasten to add, but because there is so much treasure in this passage. So let me read verses 1 to 16 of Hebrews chapter 11. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gifts. And through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death. And he was not found, because God had taken him. Now before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists, and that he rewards those who seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear, constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith he went to live in the land of promise as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born descendants as many as the stars of heaven, and as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. Let me pray one more time. Father in heaven, we praise you that in these last days you have spoken to us by your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you that through him we have great and precious promises of forgiveness of sins and a kingdom that cannot be shaken. We pray that as we study your word together, that you would strengthen us by your Spirit to persevere in faith, that we might imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as I said, this is one of the passages that has most encouraged me in my Christian walk over the last few years. And I think one of the reasons why God has spoken to me so powerfully through this book is that I find it so easy to relate to the original recipients. Hebrews is addressed to people who showed every sign of belonging to Christ. Chapter 6 says they had demonstrated their love for God by helping his people. Chapter 10 says that they had stood firm in the midst of great suffering. They'd endured reproach and affliction. They joyfully accepted the plundering of their property because they knew that they had better and lasting possessions. But as they ran the race of the Christian life, their knees had grown weak. They hadn't given up on the faith. They were still Christian. They hadn't stopped running, but they were flagging. As they went on, they were finding it harder and harder to live in that gap between promise and fulfillment, finding it harder to live by faith in a Savior that they couldn't see, and to live for a promised future that seemed a long way off, that showed no visible sign of appearing. And they were discouraged. It seems they weren't drinking in God's word as eagerly as they once had. They were becoming sluggish, slow to learn. They weren't enduring suffering as readily as they once did. They weren't sitting quite so light to the world. And so the temptation was to make their home in the world, to stop living a wholehearted life of sacrificial service to God. And I wonder, is that perhaps true of some of us? Are we finding it harder to stick out like a sore thumb in a world that doesn't acknowledge Christ? Are we tempted to keep our heads below the parapet and just make our home in this world? Not to give up on the faith, but just to ease off. Are some of us finding that God's word is not as precious to us as it once was? When we hear it read or preached, do we sometimes find it just washing over us? If that isn't true of us, then it will undoubtedly be true of people we know, friends, family, those in our churches, people we're seeking to minister to. If not now, then certainly in the years to come as we continue in our ministry. We will encounter weary and struggling Christians. And so the question this passage addresses is a vital one. What enables people to live for God? What enables people to persevere, to live lives of sacrifice and suffering and obedience right to the very end? What is it that will enable you and me and the people we minister to when we stand before God's judgment throne to hear those precious words, "Well done, good and faithful servant"? Well, the answer the passage gives is a simple one. It's faith. Faith understood as confidence and conviction. Confidence in the promises of God, conviction concerning unseen realities. The whole book of Hebrews is a call to persevere in that kind of confident faith. And here the writer points to the example of the Old Testament believers to show that the life of faith that we're called to is nothing other than the life of faith they lived. The structure is simple. In verse 1, he tells us what faith is. That is what faith consists of. And then in the rest of the chapter, he tells us what faith makes possible, what faith enables. And it's really important to distinguish those two things, what faith consists of and what faith makes possible. In a couple of weekends' time, I'm traveling to Melbourne to visit some friends of mine. And I'm traveling by plane. The plane is what will enable me to make the journey. But the plane is not the journey. Okay, that seems a fairly obvious thing to say. In this chapter, the writer distinguishes what faith is from what faith makes possible, from what people do by faith. And the reason I say that is some people confuse these two things. And they see this chapter as arguing that faith is the same thing as obedience. So, for example, in verse 7, it says, by faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear constructed an ark. And people say, well, Noah constructed an ark by faith. So faith is constructing an ark. Faith is obeying God. And they say, well, faith and obedience are really one and the same. But I hope we'll see that the two are very different, even though faith enables obedience. So notice how faith is defined in verse 1. This is what we need if we're going to live this life of faith right to the very end. Faith is assurance or confidence of things hoped for, the promises of God. And faith is conviction of things not seen. Things not seen probably includes the future, but I think this is two things, not one. I think this also includes unseen present realities. If you look ahead to verse 27, you'll see that Moses was able to endure as seeing the one who is invisible. So the reality of the unseen God in heaven is what enabled Moses to persevere. So faith is confidence in the future God has promised, and faith is conviction of unseen realities. Confidence and conviction. I notice that these are, you could describe these as mental qualities. Faith is not the same thing as faithfulness. It's not the same thing as living for God. It's what enables us to live for God. But nor is faith just ticking a box. It's not just assent. It's not just receiving your census form and thinking, well, on the whole, I think there might be something to be said for Christianity. I mean, I don't really practice it, but I guess on balance, maybe it's true, and ticking the box. That's not what the writer is describing here. These are strong words: confidence, assurance, conviction. Now, this doesn't mean that real Christians can't wobble or doubt. Faith can be as small as a mustard seed. But Hebrews exhorts us not to be comfortable with a faith that is not robust enough to sustain us through sacrifice and suffering. If we're finding that our faith is flagging, then Hebrews urges us to pursue a confident faith. These readers of this original book weren't stopping believing, but they were drifting. They were just taking their focus away from Christ. They were flagging. And we're going to find it hard to live wholehearted, sacrificial lives if we only think on balance that Christianity is probably true, if we're just hanging in there. Likewise, if we want the people we serve to live lives pleasing to God, then our job is not just to bring them to come forward at a rally or to sign a card saying that they're Christian, but we want them to be convinced and confident in their faith. So having defined what faith is in verse 1, the rest of the chapter shows how confidence in the future, conviction of unseen reality, enables God's people to live lives of wholehearted sacrificial service. So faith enables us, like Abel in verse 4, to offer God a better sacrifice. Verse 4, by faith Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain. Cain and Abel both brought sacrifices to God. You'll know from Genesis 5. But Genesis 5 tells us that Abel brought some of the firstborn of his flock and their fat portions. These were the very best bits of his flock. He offered God the best. And Hebrews says it's by faith that he was enabled to do that. Cain offered a sacrifice of sorts, but he didn't offer the best, because he didn't have Abel's faith, Abel's confidence that there was a God in heaven who would be delighted to receive his sacrifices and worthiest of sacrifices. If you're conscious that you haven't been offering to God the very best of your life, all that you could offer to God, then it's faith that you need. If we want the congregations we serve to offer acceptable sacrifices to God, then we need to urge them to faith, to confidence and conviction. Faith enables us, like Enoch in verse 5, to live a life pleasing to God. Verse 5, by faith Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him. Now before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. And without faith, it's impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. If you want to live a life pleasing to God, you need to believe that God exists and that he rewards those who seek him. I wonder how you fight sin. What strategies do you have for fighting sin in your life? I wonder what you're struggling with in particular at the moment. I'm sure I'm not alone in saying that I struggle with prayer. I find it hard to pray as I should, to pray as often and as wholeheartedly and confidently and boldly as I should. And when I'm struggling to pray, when I don't pray, when I should pray, I often find myself telling myself, you've got to pray more. But this passage says, if I want to live a life pleasing to God, what I need is faith. I need confidence and conviction. So it encourages me, when I'm struggling in my prayer life, not just to say, pray more, Chris, come on, be a better Christian, but to urge myself to faith, to confidence and conviction. I need to say to myself, Chris, do you remember that there is in heaven a God who delights to hear your prayers? Do you know, are you confident that the Lord Jesus has made a way for you to draw near to God with full assurance, knowing that your prayers will be heard and answered? Let's fight sin using faith. Faith enables us to live a life pleasing to God. Faith enables us, like Noah in verse 7, to heed God's warning of future judgment. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. If we want to flee the judgment to come, and if we want to urge others to flee, then we need to give them confidence and conviction in what God has promised in his word. And lastly, faith enables us, like Abraham in verse 8, to live as sojourners in the world. Verse 8, by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. Abraham lived in the land of promise as in a foreign land. He was one just passing through. Verse 13 says all of these, all of the people just mentioned, acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on earth. Actually, that word exiles really means sojourners. So we're not in the position of the exiles in Babylon, who Jeremiah told to build houses because Babylon was their new home. Do you remember Jeremiah says, don't think that you're soon going to be going back to Jerusalem. This is your home now. You need to settle down, build houses in Babylon. But the writer isn't here pointing us to Babylon and to the need to build houses. Rather, he points them to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who verse 9 tells us lived in tents. They weren't making their home in the world. They were just passing through the world. So we need, in a way, a tent mentality rather than a house mentality. Not that we can't live in houses, obviously. But do we think of this world as just a temporary home? Some of you know that before I moved to Sydney, I lived in Scotland for about 9 months as a sojourner. I already knew when I moved there that I was going to be coming to Sydney. I had Mark's word that there was a job for me here and a house for me here, and I trusted that promise. And because of that promise, I didn't put down roots in Scotland. I still enjoy Scotland. Scotland is a great place. If you've never been, I encourage you to go. It's lovely. But I was happy living in somebody's guest room temporarily. Wasn't looking to buy property in Scotland, start a family in Scotland, become a Scottish citizen, if there is such a thing. I don't think there is such a thing. But perhaps there will be soon. No, rather, I spent time living in Scotland, but I knew that I was going to be moving to Sydney. So I was thinking about Sydney. I was thinking about how I could get ready for the work here. I was learning about the rules of your Australian sports. I was, believe it or not, I watched last year's AFL finals on TV so that I could understand the rules of AFL, and got into rugby league before I discovered that you guys all support union rather than league. But because I had the promise of a future in another place, because I knew I was just passing through, I didn't put down roots. Well, how do we live in this world? Do we live as sojourners? Or do we make our home in this world? Perhaps you're weighing up options for future ministry, wondering whether to stay in an area you feel at home or whether to go further afield. Now, there might be lots of good reasons for staying at home, but knowledge of the certain future that we have with God enables us to live in this world as though it wasn't our home. Enables us to live as strangers and sojourners. Abraham went out not knowing where he was going, because he knew that God had a solid future in store for him. He looked for the city with foundations. Notice that verse 13 says, "These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar." It's possible to have such confidence about the future, such conviction about the unseen realities of the world, that we can see with the eyes of faith what we can't see with our physical eyes. So this passage encourages us to have that kind of vision. One of the things I think the writer of Hebrews is doing in this book is depicting for people those realities, that Christ is presently seated at God's right hand, that one day he will make his enemies his footstool, that there is a city, a new Jerusalem, in heaven now, where God's people are assembled, and we draw near by faith, but where one day we will dwell forever. Let's seek to have that kind of confidence and conviction, that we can see those realities with the eyes of faith. One of the things that works against it is that this world is in our faces. It's here. It's present to us. The sun is the largest and brightest object in the universe. But if you put something as small as your hand up over your eye, you can block out even the sun. And in the same kind of way, the closeness of the world around us can take our gaze away from these glorious realities. So let me encourage you to spend time each day meditating on these unseen realities and on this certain future. And in our ministry, let's make that our work. So faith is assurance of things hoped for, conviction of things not seen. Let's be people of faith. Let's live in this world as passing through, enduring suffering, living with confidence in the light of God's promises. Let's pray that we would do that. Heavenly Father, we praise you for your word. We praise you that your promises are sure and certain. We praise you that the Lord Jesus has died and made a way for us to be with you, both now by faith and in the future to come when we see you face to face. Father, we pray that you would help us to live as citizens of the New Jerusalem. Help us to live lives of wholehearted sacrificial service as we live by faith and not by sight. In Jesus' name, amen.